Hello, sir. What is your name, sir?
Ed Brown.
Mr. Brown. Okay, hold one second here, sir. Okay. Mr. Brown, once again, state your name and your ADC number for the record.
My name is Ed Brown. My number is 322275.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. You're appearing from the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for your revocation hearing regarding the wine allegation on your right. And based upon information that we have, you were notified of this hearing back on August the 7th of this year. Do you remember that notification, sir?
Yes, sir.
And on there, among other things, you stated that you could obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see one in the room this afternoon. May we assume that you're going to represent yourself, sir?
Yes, sir.
And can you see us, sir?
Excuse me? Yes, I can see you.
Okay, so as you can see, there are three board members participating in your hearing. They are to my left, your right, that is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. On the other side of myself is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. My name is C.T. Wright. I'm going to serve as your panel lead. We also have in the room, if I can get him up here, just give me one second. We also have in the room the gentleman that you should be able to see now. That is Mr. Westby. Mr. Westby is representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer of the day. Mr. Brown and Mr. Westby, do both of you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, I'll do you so firm.
Yeah, I do.
Thank you. As I indicated to Mr. Brown, you have one allegation, only one. I am going to read it. Once I read it, would you tell me whether it's true or false? And it reads that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 2. As demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about June 14, 2018, as verbally directed on June 6, 2018. Your whereabouts is unknown. Thus, you were suspended from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
True.
Thank you, sir. Based upon the admission of Mr. Brown, I move to find that he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Okay, could I explain what happened? Or
yes, sir, you have an opportunity. We've got to go through this protocol, but yes, sir, you will have that opportunity. The motion was made by myself, C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, and agreed by the Honorable Mr. Johnson. Now we're going to begin phase two of your hearing, and in phase two, the board will make a determination at the end of phase two whether to revoke your community supervision or to continue you on supervision. However, we will begin by receiving some background information on you from the Department of Corrections. Once we get that, then we're going to come back to talk with you, and you will have an opportunity to tell us whatever you need to tell us, sir. So if you remain quiet, if we're going to get some information from the Honorable Mr. Westby. Mr. Westby, sir.
On June 5th, 2018, Mr. Brown was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested July 20th, 2018 by Phoenix PD, no new charges. He was back in DOC custody on July 20th, 2018 with an adjusted community supervision end date of September 10th, 2018, 36 abscond days. Current conviction, 2017, aggravated assault, 1.5 years. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term at DOC. CUIR score 3-2, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 2. There's no gang information noted, no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary violations are minimal. Other arrest, 1995, armed robbery, Wisconsin, felony conviction, state prison. 2007, misconduct involving weapons, Tennessee, felony conviction, state prison. 2009, domestic violence, Illinois, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2016, assault, California, felony conviction, probation. 2018, miscellaneous felony or misdemeanor, California, pending charges. His community risk score is a G3B4.
Okay, thank you so very, very much, Honorable Mr. Westby. Okay, I'm just going to make a few comments, sir, based on the information that we have, and then we will be ready to listen to you. Mr. Brown, we show that when you were initially released, you were to reside at TLC in Phoenix, and did you complete your paperwork there? What happened there at TLC, sir?
I went to TLC and I explained to them that I wanted to work to be able to get back on the Greyhound in the 2 months that I asked to get me a ticket back home, and they were telling me that they didn't think that it was going to be possible due to the way they run their program to give me the opportunity to work, but it is something that they sometimes do. So I explained to them, look, I need an outside job, not working for y'all getting paid $20 a week, and the rest goes on my rent. I'm like, look, I'm from out of state. I'm trying to get back out of state. I need to work at a regular job so that I could pay you your $125, and then once I pay you your $125, I need to go and give me a bank account, put me some money up, just take me some money to get me a ticket. And also, I'm going to be homeless when I get home, so I can also have money on the side of me getting that $300 bus ticket. So once I explained that to them, they're like, look, we can help you with that. Because you stay here, you're going to have to work on our workload, and you only get $20 a week. Well, I'm like, well, explain to me why I don't qualify to go out and get a regular job. And once I asked him to explain to me why I don't qualify to go out and get a regular job, he said, look, sir, you don't seem like you're fit for our program. You can leave. Mm-hmm. I left, went back to my parole officer that was on the staff. Got back and talked to him on the morning at 6. I talked to a female. She told me, she said, well, look, this is what you do. Go to CAS. She gave me permission to go stay in CAS. Mm-hmm. And she told me to come back on the 14th. I was back and forth to CAS, going out looking for a job and stuff, and then found out by me not having that Social Security card, I only had the use ID from jail. I needed two forms of ID to every temp service that I went to, and I went to like 8 of them. So after that, my money ran low, and I went back to the parole office on the 12th, and I told him, like, look, man, I'm going through a thing. I'm having a hard time. Could you see me today, because I don't have money to get to you on the 14th, which I came in on the 12th. And he was like, no. So I was like, look, man, I'm having a hard time. I'm taking medication. I'm mentally unstable. I'm having a thing. I'm homeless. I'm living at this homeless shelter, just going out every day with the couple dollars that I did have. And I had to go there on the 12th, so it's stated. You can see him, but I came in on the 12th, and on the 12th, they were like, look, now you can leave. You got to come back in 2 days. So what happened was I ended up going to a hospital called Aurora. I went to a hospital called Aurora on 59th in Peoria, and I stayed there. And I got a warrant for my arrest because I was at the mental hospital. I was unstable, I was not taking my meds during the time.
Did you have your meds? You said you were not taking them, but did you have any medication with you?
No, I didn't have meds. I didn't.
You ran out of meds. You had some when you left the prison, didn't you?
Yeah, I had some when I left the prison, but I ended up getting me a backpack and somebody stole it at the shelter. Mm-hmm. There was really not many of the clothes. I got some clothes from the shelter and stuff, and they like stole the backpack. Okay. I was being at the shelter, and when they did that, so in the clothes that I gathered, that morning of the 12th, I did not go out to look for a job. I went to the parole office and I let them look, I'm out of money, I'm unstable.
Speaking of the job, so did you work at all? Did you have any employment at all while you were out, sir?
No, I did not, never catch employment. I was in and out of the hospital, sir.
Okay, and you were out because of your, because of your mental health situation. That's why you were in and out of the hospital?
Yeah, that's why I was in and out of the hospital.
So now you're on medication at this time, sir?
No, sir.
You're not on medication at all?
No, I'm not taking it because it's like I even got to deal with, sometimes I deal with depression and sometimes hearing voices and anxiety. You know, right now, I'm not in a stressful situation. See, back at the shelter, you know, you got guys there that like robbing people, starting shit, and you know, like fussing and fighting and stuff. So I was just in a state to where, you know, I'm like, man, I hope I get this little couple days go because I'm ready to get up out of here away from these people. So I was going through a thing. Like right now, I'm not taking medication because the medication isn't good for me, but the medication helps me with the hearing voices, but in the depression and anxiety. But right now, I'm not hearing voices or having depression or anxiety because I'm not going through a seriously complicated thing right now.
Okay. You told the board a few months ago that you were trying to get some money to go home. Where's home for you? Where would you be going when you you said get the bus ticket? So where were you going?
Well, I get off parole in 18 days.
Yes,
so I'm through with parole and everything in 18 days. My stop is Chicago. Mm-hmm. If I can get parole from the parole board, I can get out. And what the last problem was last time was the Social Security card. So I would have to get me a Social Security card and get me a job for 2 weeks. And in two weeks, I could build up enough money to where the day I get off, which is the 10th of September, I get me a bus ticket and go back home to Chicago. That's my goal if I get parole.
Do you have any relatives or friends at all here in Arizona?
No, sir. I don't. I was just passing through Arizona. I argued with a cop because he wanted to arrest me and I didn't do nothing wrong. Because, you know, I was sitting in a store parking lot because I was homeless. I was, like, stuck. You know, I went as far as my money could take me coming from California, and I got stuck in Arizona. And the cop, we got into an argument, and that argument led into an altercation to where they zapped me and beat me down. They beat me up, physically beat me up. You know,
yes.
And I was upset, so I was talking shit to him because I never did him from the start. You know, because he was like, get up and move, and I was like, man, I'm homeless, I'm dizzy, I can't, I'm fucked up right now because I haven't eaten, I haven't drunk enough water, I'm dehydrated, and I just got to sit here.
Okay, let me ask another question, sir. Now, I'm moving forward from then. When we were arrested and brought back into the prison, what were you doing when the police picked you up that time, sir? Phoenix police picked you up.
I was sitting in the alley. I was sitting in the alley because I was homeless. So I was sitting in the alley. Like I said, I was in the only place I could go for shelter was the CDI. And that's where I would go if I wasn't back and forth in the hospital. All the time I was in the Royal Hospital, I checked in the Royal Hospital on 59th and Peoria 3 times. You know, because it was just so much built up, like, because I was in a situation to where I stopped in this city, I got falsely accused for aggravated assault because I wouldn't put my hands behind my back. And the reason I wouldn't put my hands behind my back and get arrested is because I didn't do nothing. If I explained to him that I was dehydrated and I've been out here for like 4 or 5 days without eating and drinking anything, mm-hmm. And I just had to stop and take a rest.
Okay, so. Okay, now I'm going to do that, sir. I'm going to see if my other board members, distinguished board members, if they may have some questions for you, sir.
All right.
Questions from Mr. Brown?
Yeah.
I don't see any questions from you at this time, Mr. Brown, but we are coming towards the end of your hearing. This is your hearing. We want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board without repeating yourself, before the board goes into discussion and makes its decision. So anything else you want to tell the board at this time, sir?
Well, I would just like to get out 18 days earlier so I could have at least a couple days, a couple weeks to work to get me some money to where when I get off parole here, I could go hop on a Greyhound and go straight home. That's my goal. I was in the hospital when I supposed to, I came 2 days early and told them, man, I got no money, I'm going through a thing, these people tripping at these shelters, these dudes is buying there, I'm not trying to get into all that. So by me having the situation where I was in no money, in shelter with all these bad people, didn't want to deal with this in a new city, I'm like, okay, well, let me just go to the hospital and take me some medication and level my brain out and clear my mind.
Okay, sir. Now the board is going into discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet while the board is in discussion. And following this discussion, the board will make a decision whether to revoke your community supervision or to continue you on supervision. So remain quiet, but please stay on the phone so that you can hear everything that the board will be saying. So the board is now in discussion. I do find that Mr. Brown is a very interesting person. It seems to me that, of course, he has his SMI situation, but in addition to that, he wants to do things his way, and I think that's demonstrated with the arguments that he had with the police department, that he also had at the halfway house, and as a result of that, he ended up being unemployed and really being out on the streets at Kess, and it just did not work out for him. When he was on the outside. Now, I'm going to speak at one board member, and I can listen to other board members. I really think, and I know what Mr. Brown wants, but I really think that he really needs to get himself together. He needs to get some medication. He needs to, so that when he gets out, so that he will be stable. Because I feel right now, this is just one board member's feeling. If we let him out now, he will probably end up right back in debating with some police officers or some others, because I want him to be safe and sound when he gets out, so he can go to Chicago and be a productive citizen there. And I think it would be best if he put together a plan so that when he gets out, he will be ready to do the necessary things and find some resources so that he can get to Chicago. But that's only one board member speaking. I'm prepared to listen to other board members at this time. Therefore, I'm going to offer a motion to find that Mr. Brown did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision. He was the link on. He had lapsed into criminal ways in as much as he did abscond, and being absconding, his parole officer had no idea where he was during those 36 days, and he continued to go in and out of the hospital, which was not illegal for him to go in and out of the hospital, but he really needs a stable environment. And I think that if he can get a stable environment, he can become a productive citizen. Therefore, I'm going to move to revoke his community supervision based upon the same.
Second.
Motion by myself, C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Mr. Johnson, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Neal. Sir, your community supervision, it has been revoked. As you stated to yourself, you're going to be out in 18 days. Now, put yourself together. Put a plan together so when you get out, you just won't be out there on the streets just looking for a job that you might or might not find. Work with your CO3 right now so that when you walk out that door, you'll be ready to be successful. You don't have to report to a parole officer, and you can be successful and go back to Chicago and prove to the people in Chicago that you are a productive citizen. Sir, this will end your hearing. Please put the CO3 back on the phone, sir.
Okay, so you're saying that I will not be getting out on parole again?
No, sir. You'll be getting out at the regular time in 18 days, and at that time you will be on your own, sir. You won't have to report to a parole officer or anybody else.
I got one more. Let me go ahead and get it for me.
Okay. Thank you so very much, sir.